Welcome. Welcome to Student Sunday, whether you're in the room or joining us online. We are so excited to be joining you this morning. My name is Daniel Rankin. I am one of our student pastors here on staff, and I'm joined on stage today by Lindsay Harbaugh and Vance Holder. Lindsay and Vance make up our middle school team here. I get to serve on our high school team alongside Haley. Yes, give it up for them. And man, we love serving this church's students, and we're real excited to be here hanging out with you this morning. We were especially excited whenever we found out that Student Sunday was falling in the middle of a series called Summer in the Psalms. Our theme verse, the life verse, if it were, for our student ministry comes from the book of Psalms, Psalm 112. So if you want to go ahead and get out your Bibles and turn to Psalm 112, that's where we're going to land today. It'll also be on the screens. And here's what that psalm says. Psalm 112, verse 7 through 9, says, "They do not fear bad news. They confidently trust the Lord to care for them. They are confident and fearless, and they can face their foes triumphantly. They share freely and give generously to those in need. Their good deeds will be remembered forever. They will have influence and honor." This verse has been so life-giving to our student ministry. It has really helped us shape who we are as a student ministry and also who we want our students to become. But here's the thing. If you're a student in the room this morning, or the parent of a student, or maybe you're here this morning and you had no clue that there is a third floor to a building on this campus where we do our student ministry, that's okay, because we believe this psalm holds great value, gives us great insight to the sort of life that we want our students to live, to the sort of faith we want them to have, a faith that can stand the test of time. In our student ministry, we say it this way. We say we want them to be independently dependent on Jesus, to stand firm in who God has created them to be. And honestly, that's the sort of faith that I think we could all be striving for, right? One that is so rooted and grounded and trusting in Jesus. It reminds me of a parable that Jesus uses, the parable of the house that's built on sand versus the house that's built on rock. And it gives us this poignant picture of what life looks like whenever we build it on the sort of foundation that we can find in Jesus. And that's the reason that we wear this buffalo, or that we have this buffalo as kind of the symbol of our student ministry. You see, buffalo, they are strong, strong animals, fiercely willful. I have a picture this morning of a buffalo standing in the middle of a snowstorm, snow and ice just hanging from its body. I mean, even the fiercest elements of the Great Plains couldn't deter this animal from being exactly where it wanted to be. I've seen other pictures of buffalo standing in the middle of roads. Have you guys seen these pictures? With just lines of traffic just waiting on that animal to move. Just fiercely willful. And it's that sort of unshakableness that we want to grab a hold of and claim for our faith. Not that things aren't ever going to go wrong, but in the midst of it all, we serve a God that we can have this sort of unshakable faith in. Because here's the thing. We all know that life has its trials, right? The parable that I mentioned earlier, it uses the image of storms. Storms will come. All three of us sitting up here this morning, we could tell you stories from our own lives, from conversations we've had with students and their parents, or our volunteers, or just some of you, about the storms of life, things like divorce. We could tell you about the mental health struggles that our students have in ways that you wouldn't imagine. We could tell you about the way that the pandemic is still impacting us, or financial insecurity. I mean, in this room alone, the stories that we could tell about the storms that this life have, they're innumerable. And on top of that, we live in a world that is increasingly post-Christian. There's a group called Barna that does research on these things, and Barna will tell you that the teenagers that are growing up today, most of them across our country, are growing up in homes that are not Christian. that don't have a biblical worldview to help them live their lives in the world they're living. And that this is the first generation that that could be said of in the history of our nation. And so it's these types of challenges, it's these storms that we all face as we leave this place each week and that we are trying to help our students prepare for and take on as they stand firm in who God has created them to be. And so how do we do that? How do we stand firm? How do we build the sort of faith that can stand the test of time? We believe that our passage this morning, Psalm 112, has some really great insights for how we do that this morning. So Lindsay's gonna get us started.
Yeah. And today I want to talk about these storms that Daniel mentioned, how we as a buffalo herd, we want to meet those head on. The storms are coming, right? Or they've already come. Some of you have been dreading a storm that you're seeing approaching. Some of these storms that we have in our life pop up out of nowhere, like the Oklahoma storm sometimes. Some of you are preparing. You're like, we know a storm is coming at some point. And sometimes the storms are over there and you're like, I just desperately need my loved one to get out of it. And so you're helping people through these storms. And storms can hit fast and they can hit really hard. From our verse today, our passage today, verse 7, I want to read to you again. It says, they do not fear bad news. They confidently trust the Lord to care for them. And oftentimes when I read that verse, unfortunately, my negative brain goes to the fear word. And I don't know about you, but fear in my life can be debilitating. I don't want to know what's going to happen next sometimes because I'm just scared. I'm scared of the unknown. I'm scared of losing someone or something. I'm not sure what's to come, so I just halt. It stunts me. I don't want to take that next step. It frees up in life. Any of you readers out there, the young adult fiction fans, I know I'm probably pretty nerdy to quote this, but there is a book and a movie series called Divergent. And within that, there's two characters, Four and Triss. And at one point through the storyline, Four looks at Triss and says, fear does not shut you down. It wakes you up. And that line, I just can't get out of my head because I like to think that the Lord is telling me that. He's saying, Lindsay, I don't want fear to shut you down. You were not created for fear to shut you down. Remember, you can confidently trust in me. I can provide for you. I can care for you. I can show up for you. I can carry you. I can guide you through each and every storm of life. And ultimately, it's Jesus who gets us through the storms, right? He is our hope and our light at the end of the tunnel, right? You know, when I think about storms, I love to think about my friend Tara. My friend Tara, I met in college, and she was this bright, beautiful, fun, bubbly girl from Kansas City, and people were just drawn to her. She was just so influential, so impactful, so intentional, and probably the most efficient person I've ever met. She was the fastest at writing papers and all the things in college world. But I was so grateful for her. And Tara lived a beautiful life. She worked hard. She played hard. She prayed hard. She loved Jesus and loved others really, really well. And through this beautiful life that she had, she started feeling uncertain with her body. And she was like, I don't know what's going on. So she went to doctors after doctors, and this word cancer arose. And like you all are very aware with cancer, sometimes she had chemo, she had radiation, she had surgery after surgery. And at some point her body just couldn't maintain. And so there was a few days before she passed and went to eternity, I got to go visit her. And I walk in and I grab her hand and I look at her and I'm like, Tara, how are we today? She's like, Lindsay, I'm just trying to get to Jesus. I'm just trying to get to him. And I will never forget that line. Because isn't that what we're trying to do in our relationship with the Lord? We're just trying to get to him so that we know he can provide for us, When we talk with him, when we pray with him, we want to feel him. We want to hear him. We want to connect with our Lord. We want to get to him. And you see, Tara, through the biggest storm of her life, she always stood firm. She and Jesus had laid this foundation where when the unthinkable happened, she not only could confidently trust, but she was able to bring people into her story, into God's story. She stood firm through pain, through questioning, why God, why this, why me, why now? Through setbacks and all the things that come with that story. And today, I don't know about you, but I need physical reminders to always focus on Jesus, to always put him first. And so today at the OKC campus, we made you a keychain. And when I look at this keychain, I see Tara. On the back, it says, stand firm. And I think of her and her story and how she stood firm through all of it. And how I can stand firm and look to my Jesus when a storm arises, when it comes unexpectedly, when I've prepared for this, whatever it may be, I know I can stand firm just like Jesus calls us to. And since I'm a student pastor, I just want to mention this. You know, the students and teenagers that are around you today or in your life, they are saying the same thing my friend Tara does. They are desperately trying to get to Jesus, and they are not the bad news that we should be fearing. These students are going to be leaders of this place. They're going to be our youth pastors here of our kids. Like, I already have one girl that's like, in 6 years, I'm taking your job, Lindsay. Like, man, okay. Like, they are ready, but they need people to see actively living out their faith. They need examples. They need people to speak life into them. And they need that through community, hands down.
That's right. So every Tuesday night, we get an email, the staff here at Crossings does, and it's like a recap of the week and gives us kind of what's coming up, all that information that we need. But at the end of each email, every Tuesday night, there's these two words that we see. It says, better together. Better together. Here at Crossings, we value community. We truly do. And on the third floor, like Daniel said earlier, we have this thing where we say we want our students in the 6 years we have them to learn what it is to look like to be independently dependent on Christ. We don't want them to have their faith through somebody else or try to put their feet dug deep with someone else's faith. We want them to be independently dependent for themselves. And as Crossings students, pastors, we've seen the best way for this to work is through community. The best way for our students to figure out who they are individually is who they are in a herd, in a group. So the second takeaway this morning we have for you is find your herd. Find your community. So if you want to go back to Psalm 112, I'm going to read verse 8 and the first part of 9. It says this, they are confident and fearless and can face their foes triumphantly. This is the one I'm really going to key on here, the first part of 9. It says, they share freely and give generously to those in need. Let me say that again. They share freely and give generously to those in need. If you didn't know this was from a psalm, you would have thought this was probably from Acts 2, right? Like, it's the same repetition there, that they give freely and they give those generously and give to those in need, as I butcher that there. But here's the thought. We want these kids to be in a community that is doing life together. I have a picture of a herd of buffalo. Again, we just use this over and over again. Nothing spectacular in this picture. It is just a bunch of buffalo doing life together. They're sharing the same ground. They're eating the same grass. They're weathering the same storms together. They're standing firm together no matter what comes their way. We want our students to have that same mentality, that same herd mentality, that they know that people are standing firmly next to them while they're standing firmly for someone else too. As a student pastor, we get to hear all these stories. I've grown up in church my whole life. I've seen all these stories of what it looks like on the positive side of finding the right herd, and on the negative side, what's it look like finding the wrong herd. And it seems like in student ministry, we hear more of the wrong herd stories and trying to figure out how do we get to the right herd. So for myself this morning, I want to tell you a story of myself and when I had to find the right herd for me. I grew up in Iowa, and I was a wrestler, and I wrestled my whole life to the point where I actually got to wrestle in college, had an opportunity there. And in doing so, I knew my herd. It was those wrestlers, those guys I did life with every day. And they were good dudes. We had a good time together. But up there in Iowa, I realized that this herd I was in wasn't the herd I needed in the time of my life to pour life into me. I needed something deeper. I needed a group around me that was giving life to me. I mean, hard times were going to come, and it was sad to say that this was the herd that probably wasn't going to be helpful through the hard times. So I had to make a decision for myself. Where am I going to go to find my herd? So one night, randomly, again, I'm up in Iowa. I was looking at universities. I'm a Church of God boy, and I saw Mid-America Christian University. Some of you may hear their commercials on the radio, but I saw this school. I had never been to Oklahoma City before, let alone gone to this college before, but in that moment, I chose that school to be my next place. God had it figured out that the herd I was seeking was going to be at that place. So I loaded up my car. This is going to age me. That was about 20 years ago. But I loaded up my car, I moved down here, and I found that herd. That herd that I still talk with today. The ones that, when the storms come in my life, they stand firmly next to me. They're the ones that help me get through those things. So this morning, I want to ask you, have you found your herd? At Crossings, we have so many opportunities for you. Small groups, Bible studies, Sunday school classes, different venues for you to attend to find that perfect fit for you. This morning, I want you to make sure you have found your herd. If you have not, we want you to find your herd because we stand better when we stand together.
Yeah. And whenever I think of that idea of herd and my herd, I think of people who, like you said, have been with me through thick and thin, but that also shaped me. Like they left their mark on me. So the next thing we're going to talk about is leave your print. Psalm 112:9 says, they share freely and give generously to those in need. Their good deeds will be remembered forever. They will have influence and honor. And it's that word influence that really sticks out to me there. Whenever my wife and I moved with our two boys to Oklahoma City 2 years ago, we found out that this student ministry we were going to be a part of had this buffalo as a big part of what it was. And I knew nothing about buffalo, which, by the way, is actually bison in the United States. We call them bison. And so we went to the zoo. We had to learn more about these animals. So we went to the zoo. My boys and I, we hung out at the bison enclosure for a while, read all of these things. And that day, I learned something about bison. It's that they wallow. Bison wallow. I'm going to have Vance. Vance, do you care to, you don't want to show us?
No. My wife said not to do that today, so okay. I'm going to stay right here.
So I won't do it for you either. But essentially, they lay on the ground, and they roll around, and it gives them all sorts of benefits, gets the bugs off of them, all sorts of things. But on the ground, it leaves this mark. Eventually, all of the grass is gone, and it's just dirt, and then the dirt becomes this indention. And then they leave, but the indention stays. And all across the Great Plains, you can find these markings, these buffalo wallows, where the grass has grown up, and instead of there being a flat pasture, there's now this indention. And I think that is a great visual of influence. You see, here's the thing. We all have influence. You don't have to have a huge following on social media or a bunch of employees that work for you or kids of your own. Some of you may think you've left your influence behind, you've moved on from that, but I can guarantee you this morning we all have influence. Think of it this way. If you and I were in a room together and I wanted you to get out of that room, I could do several things. I could use my voice. I could say, hey, get out of here. We don't want you here. Leave. I could use my body. I could push you, maybe not Vance, he was a wrestler, but some of you I might be able to push out of that room. But then I could do some things in that room too, environmentally. I could tell our maintenance guy here, Pat, hey, Pat, don't turn the air conditioner on in the sanctuary today. And I guarantee you, it's 91 degrees outside. It would get warm in here real quick. And some of you would, you'd leave. You'd leave. You see, that's influence. What you say matters. What you do matters. The environment that you create matters. And so this morning, we want to encourage you to be intentional with that, to use it intentionally to your advantage. What you do with your time and energy has the potential to do more than you can imagine, especially when you do it over a long period of time. And we figured this out as a student ministry. We know that if we can get a small group leader to stay with a certain group of students over the long haul, not just for a year, but like from the time they're in seventh grade all the way until they graduate, that it has the potential to do some amazing things in the lives of some students. We've got a video of a couple students this morning who were the benefactor of that sort of influence. We want you to watch the screens.
I'm Daniel Holt, current media intern, student for 7 years, I think, since fifth grade.
I'm Gavin Penix. I am the 56th intern here, and I've gone to Crossing since I was a little kid, I think. Okay, now we're rolling.
Yeah. We were rolling the whole time. We never stopped.
I mean, I feel like being a part of a small group is vital, especially like growing up in the church. Because if you're just going at it by yourself, I think it's really rough. Whereas having like a group, small community to talk to and just, I guess, converse with about, you know, the Bible and God and really just like how you're feeling, you know, I think it's amazing. And I really do think I'd be in a much different place in my life without this guy and everyone else in my group, so.
Having a community is really important because it gives you people you can trust, people you can talk to, people you can call in the middle of the night and they'll be there for you. And when you first get put into a small group, it's gonna be probably a little awkward just because you guys are all new, you guys don't know each other. But as it progresses, as you guys start learning to live life together, you guys get so close, they become brothers in Christ.
I guess part of being brothers is like, you will get in arguments and spouts and usually forget about it in a week or so. We're not really one to hold grudges, I would say. Except for that $5 bill he stole me, but other than that, like again, we forgive each other.
It definitely helps you learn how to communicate with things like that. Like, you have to deal with people all your life, and so when you go off, and it teaches you how to confront it the right way. And having a small group leader helps with that, because he can kind of mediate. Jared will let us argue it out, and then he'll pull us aside and be like, hey, you were good until you said this, or you came off very aggressive here. And
oh, that's exactly what he says.
Yep.
Yeah, you need to apologize. Just like that. Just like that.
Gotten that more than once.
Yep. Ugh. Seeing Jared interact with us and just be a small group leader, sticking with us for so long, that inspired me. And I'm now the 56th intern, which I love. And that has me way more interested in, like, I don't know, pursuing a career in ministry in the future. It has meant a lot. He has made such an impact on my life, and I'm sure him and the rest of the small group. But as we like kind of grew up and got further into high school, we had more deeper and meaningful conversations. We would open up to him more. And some of it was just like high school drama, but a lot of it was actually serious stuff. And I definitely felt like after sharing with him, like I felt better, because he was able to talk me through it. Seeing what Jared did and then me going out there to 56, it's kind of like passing the torch, I feel like, so. And it's just really cool.
Our small group is the reason why we all went to production volunteer together. They convinced me to do it, and I ended up loving it. And because of their pushing me to do that, Jared and the rest of our small group, I now have an internship there, and I love it.
Us too, we're involved with the church, but like the rest of our small group is too. Like, we have several guys that volunteer on Sundays and Wednesdays and go to the 56 camp. So like, it isn't just us and our small group. The people thinking about volunteering, do it. Like, jump right in, go ahead and do it. It is a very rewarding and humbling experience. And you just find it so fulfilling. And again, seeing the impact you have on other kids and other people, really. You may not realize how much inspiration you give to others.
If you don't know where to start, there's plenty of places to go. You'll find what you're looking for. If you're into behind the scenes, if you want to learn something brand new, we have something brand new for you. If you want to work with kids, we have plenty of opportunities to do that. I mean, we have every opportunity here that you can take advantage of, whether you're a student, a parent, or neither of those. Like, we have that opportunity for you guys. Without someone being a leader on a Wednesday, you don't get the small group experience. I mean, so it's just very important that we get volunteers and that we have them, because that's what makes the church work.
That's great.
Yeah, I actually told him to say that, so.
Oh, man. Yeah, give it up for those guys. Here's the deal. If I had told you 5 years ago that those two guys were going to be interns in our church the year after they graduated, you would have laughed. I mean, but here's the thing. Jared, this guy, quiet, calm, cool kind of guy, his co-leader Casey, they kept showing up consistently, and they stood firm alongside those guys, this rowdy bunch of guys that they replaced with. And because of their influence and because of their ability to just stay there over the long haul, those guys had a life-changing experience. And so to you this morning, I say, look, you have an influence. You already have a circle of influence. And so we want to challenge you to use that influence intentionally. Over the next month, I challenge you, have 10 conversations about Jesus within your circle of influence. Whether that's 10 conversations with the same person or 10 conversations with 10 different people, I just encourage you to get intentional about what you're doing with your influence and just see how God uses that for his kingdom.
Yeah. So where do we go from here? Where do we go now? You know, I think it's time that we stand on our firm foundation. I think it's time that we put our confident hope and trust in Jesus Christ, right? Every day, every morning. It's a every morning decision. So we just want to keep and continue on encouraging you in this stand firm. We're going to meet our storms head on, right? We can confidently trust Jesus to be our guide through these storms. And you, hopefully like me, need a reminder, a physical reminder. So it may be a keychain that you can get out in the atrium today here at the OKC campus. But let's be reminded for fear not to shut us down, right? For God to take us on that journey through our storm. Find your herd. Get involved with others. With the pandemic, it's been way too easy to be lax of not connecting with somebody face-to-face, even if it's still on a screen. So find your people, find your herd, and invest in them. And lastly, leave your print, like Daniel said. Your influence goes deep and wide. And so find those 10 people, have those conversations, get yourself out of your comfort zone. And how are you going to use that time to further God's kingdom and your influence for God's kingdom? You know, we need people who are actively living out their faith. So if you aren't serving like Jesus, if you aren't talking about Jesus, if you aren't investing and seeking out Jesus, who are you living for?
You know, in that video we just saw, Daniel made a comment at the end, and he said this, that volunteers is what makes the church work. I'll say that again. Volunteers is what makes the church work. In middle school this last year, we had first-time small group leaders at the age of 19, and we had a first-time small group leader that was 72. We don't care about age, any of that stuff. We need people who want to stand firm alongside our students. And if you're online with us this morning, you can get more info if you go to crossings.church/info. And at the very top of that page, you will see a link where you can click on and get more information. But if you're here with us today and you want to know more about what's it look like to serve in Crossings students, in Crossings kids, or just anywhere, just go out into the atrium, to the info booth, or we actually have a couple tables set up where you can sign up and come hang out with our students as they are truly figuring out what it is to stand firm in Jesus Christ. At this time, we're going to close it up, but I'm going to invite our prayer pastors to come up to the front of the stage. If you have anything, just anything at all, that you have going on in your life that you need prayer for, we are a church that believes in prayer. We would invite you to come up right after this and just pray with somebody. Have someone stand firm alongside you this morning. But I want to ask everyone to bow their heads. as we pray. Lord, thank you so, so much. Thank you for who you are and what you've done for us. We ask as we continue to learn about you, learn about what it's like to be with you and how you are truly in us, we ask that you just guide and protect us through those things. Lord, as we kind of just dwell on the words we heard today about being strong in the storm, about finding our right herd, and then giving our influence to you, Lord, we ask that you just be present in those things. Lord, as we leave this place this week, help us just to be a light for you. Wherever we go, whoever we come into contact with, we ask that you are shining through us. Help us to stand firm along one another and do this thing that you have us to do the right way. Lord, we love you so, so much. And everyone said, amen.